Hello, everyone, and welcome to From Heartbreak to Wholeness. I'm Elizabeth Sheffer, and I'm so glad to have you with me today for this interview series where we are helping women to heal their hearts and create conscious, loving relationships. And today I am so thrilled to be sharing an amazing soul with you. Her name is Anaya Sophia, and she's going to be sharing her deep wisdom about feminine mysteries and sexuality and loving sacred relationships with us. Hi, Anaya.
Hey, Elizabeth. Hello, dear listeners. Nice to meet you
all. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for this really important conversation we're going to have.
I'm so thrilled that you can join us for this. And for those of you who are listening, I want to just tell you a little bit about Anaya in case you're meeting her today for the first time. She is an elder of the sacred feminine mysteries, a wellspring of wisdom, and she is mostly known for her ability to transmit the Mary mysteries and feminine passion contained within the Christ path. This includes sacred inner marriage, sacred body awakening, womb wisdom, and the conjuring of a divine fire that illuminates both man, woman, body, soul, and human divine. She carries an oral tradition and a continuous lineage with the feminine principle that throughout the centuries has preserved its spiritual dignity without need for permission or recognition from any other source. She's written a number of books that include Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga, Pilgrimage of Love, Womb Wisdom, Sacred Sexual Union, The Rose Knight, and her new book is Sacred Relationships, The Practice of Intimate Erotic Love. Well, Anaya, I read that and I just get this feeling of the depth and breadth of the work that you've been doing over all these years. And there's so many things that I know that you could share with us today. And since we're focusing on bringing a partner into your life and healing from heartbreak and hurt, I wonder if you could start by telling us a little bit about your story of meeting your beloved Pete. I read the story on your blog, and it was just so profound and so beautiful, and I think our listeners could learn a lot about how to really create space for your beloved to come into your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Elizabeth. The first thing I want to say, beloved ladies on the call, is I absolutely know that heartbreak. I know that deep place that you have fallen into. And because of my work, very much viewing everything through the lens of the soul and cross-referencing that to the Christ path and the Mary mysteries, I have this terminology which I call the gate opener. The gate opener is a beloved being from the soul family. So a being made from exactly the same soul pod material as yourself. And he or she is destined to come into our lives at a certain time, in a certain moment, and absolutely open up our hearts, our souls, and our bodies to a deep, deep, not of this world, love. But the thing about the gate opener is that they don't have the longevity piece. They come in, they plow us. They literally plow our ground with their deep influence and penetrative ability to get into our innermost sacred chamber. And then for some reason, they leave. They might be already married. They might be living across the other side of the world. They might pass over. They might just simply cut and run. That is the quality of the gate opener. And where that leaves us, beloved ladies, is that great, dark, cold pit of heartbrokenness, the kind of heartbrokenness that your friends don't understand if they haven't already experienced it. And that is where I found myself once upon a time. And I began that phoenixical journey that said, I am too young. I wasn't really, but my soul said, I'm too young to stay down here. I must somehow brush myself off, collect my broken heart, and gently and peacefully bring it back together, like those gorgeous little Japanese bowls that get smashed, and then with the gold, they get made whole again. And of course, they don't look gorgeous to the eyes of the superficial world because they've got these gold veins everywhere. But they are the strongest little Japanese bowl you ever will find. And if you're mature enough and wise enough, you will see the beauty in the cracks that have been made rich and good again. And that is what I would like to bring to this call.
And I would say, Naya, that is so perfect. Yeah, thank you so much for what you just shared. That's truly.
And then just to finish off quickly, when you pieced yourself back together, that is when you can meet the beloved Pete of this world, the one who's not the gatekeeper, but the beloved. The beloved is the one who says yes and means it and is there for the long haul, the big and great work.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have seen this too. So many times. I mean, I've never called it the gate opener, but this happens. You know, someone comes into your life and inevitably it seems you think, oh, it's the one, you know? Mm.
Yes.
There's all the hallmarks of the one or what you thought the one would be like. And this happened to me a few months before I met my husband.
Yes.
I met someone who I thought absolutely was the one, you know, and totally let myself go and totally let myself just, you know, be in this rapture of love, and he disappeared.
Yes.
And it was so devastating. I mean, oh my gosh, my heart. But just like you said, on the other side of that, picking up all those pieces and putting them back together again, that's what led to my husband. And I have seen this so many times with women, that there is a phenomenon with this. And it is hard to explain, I think, to, like you said, your friends might not understand if they haven't experienced it, the depth of that pain. But it's in that pain that you're really forged into the person you're meant to be, to bring in your real partner.
Absolutely. And when we say these words, you know, I felt he was the one.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that statement from the eyes of the soul, he was the one. Because once upon a time, you guys were made as one. You know, that's what I mean by the soul family. There is nothing different about you. You are the same vibration and resonance and frequency. You were birthed together in the same pool of beings. And we make this great big statement, wow, I think he's the one. Yeah, he is. Unfortunately, there's a little beginning and middle and end to the exposure to the one. But that is the design, Elizabeth. You know, the gates, I call the gates the conditioning. You know, the reason why not to open your heart, the defenses, the safety net, you know, the things that keep us barricaded on the inside. And the one comes in and says, ha ha, I have the key that opens everything. And you go, yes, please, please, open me now.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. And so on the other side of that, when you had done this deep healing, can you tell us a little bit about how Pete came?
Well, yes. First of all, I had to go through this self-love process, really, really genuine. All of that massive love that I used to reflect upon the masculine, you know, the one or various lovers, and that was a big love. I had to turn that great big love in my direction and simply love me, love my heart, love my body, love my dreams, love the artist in me, love the performer in me, love the aging woman in me, you know, loving all of my quirks and my shadow and my neediness and all the stuff we don't like to love much. Totally love it, caress it, comfort it, console it. Deep mother love and at times deep erotic love and innocent love. And I just sat here in my house in the south of France by the fire. It was a winter period. And I just said, I am not letting anyone in. Because this love, this tenderness, this absolute rapture must be given to myself. And especially the parts that are in exile and forbidden and, you know, cause a lot of upset when they come in. I literally nursed myself back to wholeness. And I really did reach a point where I said, well, I'm going to put my feet up. I'm just going to help others find their beloved or prepare to meet their beloved. You know, do the sacred feminine work. I myself don't need, nor am I calling in anymore, a beloved masculine to do this great tantric work with. So I just let it go. Let it go. I'm just going to say, fairy godmother. wish the young ones well, you know, fingers crossed. And I really genuinely met and got very comfortable in that place. And then Pete, who I'd been a Facebook friend with for about 5 years, he messaged me to say he's in the area walking. Could he drop by? Could he come and see me? You know, physically, because we've only ever Skyped and stuff. And so we made an arrangement and he was sat on my terrace. He was sat on the steps. He had his back to the front door. And I have a glass front door. And so I saw my hand reach for the door handle to open the door to him. But my innermost wisdom also said, you're opening the door to him, but you're also opening your whole life to him. Here it is. Maybe not the one, because I just simply did not want to hear that kind of language in anymore. But something deep in me stirred, and I knew I had a choice point. I could walk away from the door, run upstairs and hide because he didn't know I was in the house, or I could breath, open the door and know that I was opening myself again to that deep tantric journey. And of course I opened that door and he turned around to face me. And I saw a face that I could love very, very much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And so it began. And it really did begin there and then. And also, he also had to go through a similar process. He also, you know, didn't engage with any ladies for a while. He also wanted to go into that deep, sovereign, self-love place. And we both often talk about this, saying this phase is actually quite necessary. You meet the gate. Yes. You have the big opening. You piece yourself back together. You get relatively well again. And then you decide something you've never done before in your life, and that is to be alone but available. So you're alone and loving. So it's not like alone and I am completely celibate and cold and I have turned my back on the world. I am alone. I am all one. I am open, I am loving, but I am choosing not to interact with another lover. And then in strolls someone able and worthy of taking that space beside you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for sharing that glimpse of your journey.
Yeah.
And so I know that you've been, you know, helping women for a long time along this path. What are some of the insights that have come for you? And especially I'm curious about the Mary mysteries and the Christ path, and how is this informing your work, and how is this sort of affecting the lives of men and women who are searching for their partner, wanting to find that deep soul love?
Well, if we look at the Christ path and the Christ message, we often come across this terminology called the way. You know, Yeshua or Jesus Christ was teaching the way. But the thing is, I believe what's left behind in the Bible is only the masculine part of the way. Mm-hmm. And what's missing, and what is also beautifully coming back to life, is what Mary brought in. Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary and all the other ladies who were very much part of the circle of apostles and disciples. And they brought in the feminine part, which is the womb mysteries, the transformational quality of deep, erotic, Shakti-filled love, the ability to carry the masculine in the womb space when he's facing a tremendous transformation himself. And I believe she brought in a medicinal field. You know, her entire beingness was this feminine Christ. But when I say Christ, I don't mean some off-piece deity that you cannot reach and touch. This Christ light is within and glowing out of the pair of them as human beings, not as the only son and daughter of God, but just like us, Elizabeth. They discovered something together. They discovered deep mysteries together, and they did their everything to share that with their brothers and sisters. And in the Bible, you know, towards the end, it says, and he sent forth 72 disciples, 72 pairs of disciples out into the world. My feeling is that it was couples. I believe he or she sent out a man and a woman, each carrying the feminine and masculine teachings, the oral transmissions and teachings of the way, which is to completely heal the split between body and soul, light and dark, masculine and feminine, sun and moon, religion and intuition. That is the way. A very simple and very embodied, pure way of being.
So what are some of the ways that this has been wounding, I would say, for women? You know, the fact that the feminine part has been kind of scrubbed out. How does that play out in a woman's life, or what are some of the consequences of that?
Oh, gosh. Well, the feminine is body and sexuality and nakedness and emotions. So when we don't include the Mary's voice in this Christed transmission, we're not including half of our entire expression. We're saying there's something wrong with the body. We're saying there's something dirty or something that must be controlled with our sexuality. we're not able to be freely naked with one another without the sexual projection mechanism coming to life. This squashes the life force out of half of our human experience. And over time, that creates a schism, a severe separation in the mind. And only approximately 400 to 500 years ago did the Pope at that time confess in a public speech that women did in fact have souls after all.
Mm.
And so that's only 4 or 5 generations away, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Our mothers and daughters and grandmothers and wives and sisters would have had the impression that they didn't have a soul, and yet the fathers and sons and brothers and husbands did. So that means at some inevitable time in the foreseeable future, there is going to be this lasting, gaping separation, that the men will go on to live some kind of afterlife and the women simply won't. And that schism is felt deeply in the feminine, of course, because there's this great unknown at the end of her life. But I suspect deeply it's felt in the masculine, because he loves his mother, daughter, sister, and wife. And of course, he's left with that unanswered question, well, where does she go then? This is massive psychological unrest. So not only did the schism absolutely mess with our own heads, but it prevented and disconnected us from our bodies and the beautiful love making, and literally I'm meaning those words, the ability to make love together in sexuality. So it's had a huge effect on us all.
Yeah, it's hard to overstate, really, I think, from my own experience, how much this has and is still playing out, even in our treatment of nature and, you know, what's happening now with the planet and Mother Earth. And it's reflected in so many different areas, but I see it so much in women's self-esteem and what you just said about, you know, it's only a few generations ago that women were known to have a soul. I mean, that's huge when you think about it. That's enormous.
Yes. And I'd just like to add on another little extra step we could take. Through the eyes of the Gnostics, they see Mary Magdalene as the instructor. And the dynamic between her and Yeshua is that Mary selected Yeshua to speak the transmissions. Because if she was to transmit this at that time, well, she wouldn't have lasted very long.
Yeah.
So not only is Mary Magdalene Yeshua's equal and sovereign partner in this creation of the way, but in some circles, she is the instructor. She is the one instructing and guiding Yeshua to absolutely embody this wisdom, this wisdom that can be transmitted straight into the center of the hearts of the listener.
Mm.
So that really turns everything around.
Yeah, and what a reframe for women, you know, to just to even hold that possibility.
Yeah.
And just to have that thought, you know. I know, just having an image, I mean, I think this is so powerful. This was so powerful for me. It's so powerful for the women that I've worked with. Having an image of the divine as feminine this is possibly the most healing thing that I've ever experienced.
Yes.
Because when we're written out of divinity, you know, we're written out of life, and our whole being is invalidated. And to think about Mary as being an equal, a sovereign partner, to think about her possibly as even transmitting the teachings, it's just a huge shift in the way that I think women are able to conceptualize themselves and their own energy and their own identity. And this is so important for us to reclaim, not just for ourselves, but for men as well, right? For our relationships, for the healing of the planet, for weaving back together a sacred way of being in the world that makes sense.
Yes.
So I love that you're bringing this forward with Mary Magdalene. And I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about your new book, and has your relationship with Pete informed this book and your experience together? You know, has that been part of writing the book? And I'd just love to hear more about what you're bringing forward in the book and how things are going for you now together.
Well, I must say, the writing of Sacred Relationships was done in that time when I was nursing myself back to life.
See,
the creativity had to go somewhere. I have so much creative, so many creative impulses. So I decided to channel this into another book, Sacred Relationships. And it was and is a book for those beloveds who are either in a physical sacred relationship or taking the path of the inner marriage. So really looking at the masculine and the feminine parts within them and how harmonized they may be or not be. And so the idea of this book is that you hold it in front of your heart when you're having a real crisis, either a crisis with the other one or a crisis on the inside. And you just flick, flick, flick through the pages and you just open it up randomly. And the book has been divided into the wisdom of the sacred feminine, the truth of the sacred masculine, and the merging of the sacred marriage. So when you open the page, you should randomly fall on the exact particle of data you need to nudge yourself on, you know, along that great alchemical path. And it's also a good insight because you should be able to see exactly which bit is active right now and causing this crisis. Is it the feminine part? Masculine, or is it the part of you that's really struggling with the merging and the union? So it's kind of like an oracular read. It can be read cover to cover, but the design is that it's like a pack of oracle cards, but in a book.
Wow, I love it.
And you know, really coming from lived experience.
Yeah.
Pearls of wisdom picked up along the way.
Wow, that sounds absolutely incredible.
It's like a little...
What a gift. Yeah.
A Bible for those of us on this path that really, really want to balance and make open and available are masculine and feminine traits beyond the conditioning, beyond the worldview, and make us responsive, you know, to the world that we're facing now, like you were saying, you know, nature, politics, Brexit, American president. It's all happening.
It's happening.
We need active and responsive beings on planet, ready, willing, and able to show up when needed.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I've just appreciated this interview and everything that you've shared. You've gone so deep into your own experience. You've brought forward so much that I think is going to be very thought-provoking and healing and really helpful for women who are on this path. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this time with me.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you finally about the gift that you have for the audience. And there will be a link for them to access it. So for everyone listening, the link is just right below the link for Anaya's interview. But I'd love for you to just share a little bit about that gift and how they can use that.
Well, I can't remember which gift I promised, but I've made a little change.
Oh, okay, sure.
We can sort out the details on that after the call.
I want to offer
the ladies the sacred divorce ceremony, which isn't severe and brutal as that word often makes us feel. The sacred divorce ceremony is like, it's a transmission, but it's exquisitely tender, deeply honoring, and very, very healing. It's for those moments when you've reached the end point. You know, you're on your knees, you're picking up the little pieces of heart, but this transmission will absolutely witness and validate everything you've been through, the great, great gifts that you were able to share, and the deep apology of the places in you that maybe weren't fully developed and able to open as much as you wished. So it's a gorgeous, gorgeous healing transmission. And that is what I'd like to share with the ladies.
Oh, thank you so much. That sounds absolutely incredible. Yeah, wow. Yeah, thank you. That sounds beautiful. Oh, well, everyone listening today, thank you so much for joining us for this interview. I hope that this has really touched your heart and given you some things to think about and just helped you to move forward through this process. I really love how Anaya has shared so deeply about her experience, and I think that right now, if you're in that place of picking up those pieces and in that place of real pain, just to know that this is a time where there's so much fertility and so much potency. I mean, Anaya's book, it came out of that time in her life, and there's so much that comes out of that time. It's so incredibly rich and so incredibly powerful, and just to know that on the other side is really the birth of a whole new chapter for you. And, you know, I've loved sharing this interview with you and this series with you. And I look forward to hearing from you about how this interview has impacted you. I'd love to know your thoughts. Feel free to send me an email and let me know what this brought up for you. And I'll look forward to sharing the next interview in the series with you tomorrow. So, Anaya, thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. This has been absolutely beautiful and just so rich with wisdom and experience. So thank you so much for all of your work and everything that you're bringing forward for all of us.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Bye for now.